Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Buchanan Alliance Church. As we begin this morning, let us welcome the Lord's presence through prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your finished work on the cross, Lord Jesus. And it is only through your finished work that we come into your presence. We ask that you would powerfully come upon each one of us. We not only acknowledge your presence, we welcome you. May your kingdom come so that your will is done for your glory. In your name, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, today is the first Sunday in 2021, and it is going to be a communion Sunday since it's the first Sunday of the month. So if you desire to stop this recording at any time and go and get bread and juice, I would welcome you to do that. At Buchanan Alliance Church, we are living and loving like Jesus. That's what our goal is, that we live and love like Jesus, that we literally live out his character and priorities. And as others notice that, we simply invite them to join us in living and loving like Jesus as well. The current events that surround us these days are getting crazier and crazier. And my words of encouragement are, let us keep our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. As we're going to see today from the message, God is still on his throne. God is still in control. And so let's love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And let's love others as we love ourselves. And I personally believe, and it's the belief, I believe, of the Christian Missionary Alliance, that that is only possible through the Holy Spirit's filling and empowerment. Otherwise, we're just stuck in Romans 7, the things that we want to do, we can't do, the very thing that we don't want to do, we find ourselves doing over and over again. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And through Jesus and the Holy Spirit's empowerment, that is how we can overcome not only sin, but how we can love God and love others, is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Hey, the Christian Missionary Alliance has 40 days of prayer, and it begins January 3rd. Please go onto the National Office website or our website, and you can find more information. Today's message and the next six messages are going to be based on the 40 days of prayer. We, as a church family, are joining with the CNMA larger church family and celebrating and participating in 40 days of prayer. So today's message, the title is The Holiness of God. And this actually comes out of the 40 days of prayer with the CNMA. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. And by the way, also on our website, you can download this PowerPoint and follow along on it. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And here's what the scriptures say according to the New International Version. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." We begin with a vision of God's holiness, verses 1 through 4. Let me read verses 1 through 4 again. In the year that King Uzziah died, and we know that all kinds of craziness happened whenever a king died in those ancient days. There was murder, there was jockeying for power, there was all kinds of craziness. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated and on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Holy, what does the word holy really mean? The root meaning from both the Hebrew and Greek is to be separate or set apart from, to be complete, without flaw or fault. God is above and separated from creation. God not only created what was made, but he also sustains all things. He has no sin or shortcomings. In the New Testament, we hear that God is light. In him is no darkness, no, not one. God is perfect in all that he does and is. As we look at this beginning, holy, 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 this declaration, the threefold repetition is a linguistic device or tool used to emphasize completeness, the totality of God's holiness. God not only spoke the universe into existence, but he sustains it by the word of his power. God is holy. He is almighty. Even the seraphs that worship him, they have six wings. With two, they cover their faces, and two, their feet, and with two, they hover. Even the beings created to be in his presence cover their faces and cover their feet because God is so holy, so awesome, so great. And next, we see Isaiah's response to God's holiness is in verse 5. Isaiah says, "Woe is me! Woe is me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." What was happening here? Self-awareness, the realization of his fallenness and sinfulness. Almost always throughout the scriptures, whenever someone encounters God, there is fear and reverence. There is a sense of self-awareness, a realization. Whenever we get a glimpse of God, it reveals ourself. There is self-awareness. And we realize how sinful we are in compared to his greatness. In fact, this reminds me of Adam and Eve after sinning in the Garden of Eden. Adam said in Genesis 3, I believe it's verse 10, "I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." We see the same thing going on here, that whenever humanity gets a glimpse of God's holiness, his awesomeness, his greatness, there's fear. And so we typically hide. Whenever we get a view of God's true holiness, we also get a view of our true fallenness. And then what was God's response to Isaiah? Verses 6 and 7. God didn't just leave it there. God didn't just leave Isaiah there. The scripture says, "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" God sent an intermediary to help Isaiah. God didn't leave Isaiah in that state of fear and absolute reverence for God. God sent an intermediary, an angel. And isn't it true that in a similar fashion, God sent Jesus as our intermediary? Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore, I will give you a portion among the great." He's talking about Jesus. and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Jesus will divide the spoils with the strong because Jesus poured out his life unto death and he was numbered with the transgressors. For Jesus, he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What good news, what good news. Not only did God send an intermediary, someone to help Isaiah, God sent Jesus on our behalf so that we would have intercession for our transgressions as well. And then next we see God's invitation in Isaiah's response. God's invitation in Isaiah's response in verse 8. Then the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." God invited Isaiah to participate in his plan of redemption. Isaiah's response, "Here am I, send me." I believe that God is inviting us to participate in his plan of redemption as well. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. I hope that you turn there and read that. Basically, it shares how we have a ministry of reconciliation as well. God invites you and me to be a part of sharing the good news of Jesus. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We know what Isaiah's response was. "Here am I, send me." And so what is our response? What are we saying to this invitation that God is giving to each one of us as well? Let's take a moment of silent prayer, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us, and then a moment of silence to listen, and then prayer, leading us into communion. Oh, dear Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for how you made atonement for Isaiah, and thank you even more for how you made atonement for us through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Isaiah, we see how your response was, "Here am I, send me." Holy Spirit, please speak to each one of us so that we are able to respond in similar fashion. And so in this moment of silence, Holy Spirit, come. Come and speak to each one of us. Come and draw us to yourself and then use us for your glory. But we quiet our hearts to listen to you. Oh, Father, at home, at work, at play, in every arena of life. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, please empower us. Continue to empower us to say, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me." What a privilege it is to be invited. What a privilege it is to be given the ministry of reconciliation, as is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for this time of remembrance. As we remember, Jesus, come and meet each one of us in wonderful and powerful ways. Dear Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless this bread and bless this cup, just as you blessed it long ago in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. In the same way, please do it again. Do it again. In your name and in your authority, I ask these things, Lord Jesus. Amen. And Scripture teaches us that the Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, he looked heavenward and gave thanks and blessed it. And he said to his disciples, "Take, eat this in remembrance of me." And so please join with me and let us partake of the bread together. And then Scripture tells us, in like manner, our Lord then took the cup. And Jesus said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it." And so let us remember and let us drink together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our redemption. We have been bought with a price, your death, burial, and resurrection. And we remember and we celebrate that. In fact, we remember until you return. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please continue to teach us the tremendous significance of your body and your blood until you return. Bless your sons and daughters as they have partaken and as they remember. In your name, Lord Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. And now you may know that we have table talk discussion points. Please consider, what are some of the parallels between God's invitation to Isaiah's response, and our invitation and response via our ministry of reconciliation, as found in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. Isaiah 6 begins with, "In the year that King Uzziah died." What may be some parallels to our current events today? I think there's many. So can you just share with each other what some of those are? In your own words, what are some of the implications of "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? What are the implications of that being repeated three times and that God is absolutely holy? What do you think about Isaiah's response to seeing God's majesty and splendor? What do you think about that? What are some of the implications of that? As you consider God's response to Isaiah, making atonement, having the angel take and purify him from sin with tongs, with a coal from the altar, what thoughts come to your mind? How is that done through Jesus Christ here and now? And now receive this benediction. It's straight from Scripture. And just please just hold your hands out and receive this as a gift from God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face towards you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon you and grant you his peace. And then the text says that God's name will be written upon his children. And so may everyone see Christ in you and Christ flowing through you and be drawn to Jesus. Blessings upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen.